Hello, and welcome to our third annual telesummit on the Right ADHD Trail. Unfortunately, I had to take last year off due to some family losses, but we're back today with 15 highly educated experts in the ADHD field. They will share their knowledge and experience with us to help you climb the pinnacle of success. We're going to fill your backpacks with some of the tools and tips that men with ADHD are challenged with on a daily basis. You will get tips on how to harness your off time, ADHD self-regulation, and digital addiction, finding spiritual connection despite distractions, your money mindset and strategy, and so much more. But first, let me introduce myself. I am Kathy Gett, owner of Gett Focus Private Coaching Service. I'm a certified ADHD life coach, certified Sanity School for Parents trainer. You can find out more about my private practice at getfocus.com. That's spelled G-O-E-T-T focused. While working with my male clients, I realized that there was so much information and many excellent telesummits that were really geared to women, but nothing for the men. So here we are, climbing the trail for our third annual telesummit for men and their loved ones. But before we go any further, I'd like to thank my good friend, Lori Dupar, and International Coach Training Center for being my sponsor and making this event a success. Fall 2021 training starts September 14th. To find out more, go to iaccenter.com. I realize how busy your lives are. You just may not have the time to sit down for many hours to listen to this telesummit packed full of information. Well, I have a solution for you. Simply upgrade to On the Right ADHD Trail Backpack. For only $85, you get extended digital access to all the recordings on the telesummit, a transcript of our audio conversation, and a special bonus, you are in the drawing for a $100 gift certificate from REI. You know, enough talking. Let's get started with our first presenter, Jeff Copper. Let me tell you a little bit about Jeff. Jeff is an attention coach and expert on attention issues. He founded DIG Coaching Practice and is the host and founder of Attention Talk Radio and Attention Talk Video. He coaches individuals with ADD, ADHD symptoms who are seeking personal and business results by helping them realize their potential. As someone who has had to learn to manage attention and deal with his own challenges, Jeff helps his clients understand themselves and how their mind works. To this end, Jeff developed his Anatomy of Attention Construct to help them regain control of their attention and move past barriers. Using his Anatomy of Attention Construct, they can achieve what they are capable of faster, with less stress, and create productive environments they need. Jeff is a member of ADA, CHAD, ACO, Professional Association for ADHD Coaches, ADD Resources, and International Coach Federation. Jeff is going to talk to us about ADHD, self-regulation, and digital addiction awareness. What a topic. How do you get addicted? Slowly, and then all of a sudden? The digital age is here to stay. Technology has many great benefits, but there is a dark side. Those with ADHD struggle to self-regulate. The internet and technology are chock full of things that prey on those who struggle with self-regulation. In this telesummit, ADHD coach Jeff Copper talks about ADHD, dopamine, and the challenges of living in the digital age. He brings awareness to your unconscious surrendering of your attention that has distracted you from what matters in your life and what is required to manage yourself. If you're hooked on social media or YouTube, if you're a gamer or a news junkie, or if you find yourself foraging for information on the internet, he has relevant information you need to know. Welcome, Jeff.
Kathy, thank you so much for the opportunity to come on and present and talk about this topic. I really appreciate it. And I'm also grateful for what you do for the ADHD community.
Thank you very much. So Jeff, what do you have to tell us about it?
Well, I want to talk about really self-regulation digital addictions. Let's kind of start at the beginning. The human brain has a primal urge to seek pleasure and to escape pain, which is really, really important in the evolutions of humans. We forage for food, which is pleasurable because we need nourishment. We forage for a mate to procreate. Intimacy is pleasurable as well. And as you can see, if it wasn't, then the species would not exist. The brain also wants to escape pain. So if you're threatened with your life, you're going to go into a fight, flight, or freeze. And so when you begin to understand these primal urges at their most core, and you begin to understand some simple brain biology, and I want to simplify this because the brain is infinitely complicated, but I think if we can just boil things down into terms that we can understand, we can begin to manage it. And in your brain, there's a neurotransmitter called dopamine that is the reward neurotransmitter. It is it's basically at play in anything that you're addicted to. So nicotine increases dopamine, cocaine, alcohol, gambling, sex, chocolate, sometimes music, et cetera. And so when I look at people with ADHD, I think it's really it's a simple, wise way of describing it, but they're a dopamine addicts. And I like to use the word addiction. They're not technically an addict, but I like to use the word addict because it brings to the table the real challenges of it. So people actually take it seriously. My mom once said a long time ago, if something's hard, you got to acknowledge it's hard, because if you're not saying that, you're not given the respect it's due. And so by saying it's a dopamine addiction, it really brings some intensity with it. And so if you think of ADHD as a dopamine addiction, how it manifests in your world is an issue of self-regulation, the inability to engage your attention when you're not getting dopamine, and the inability to disengage your attention when you are getting dopamine. And I think that's really important, because we think of ADHD as a deficit of attention, but it's not. People with ADHD, there's things that they can pay attention to, and there's your stopping. Take a kid with ADHD playing computer games. I mean, they can play for hours on end. Their issue is not paying attention. It's actually disengaging. So Kathy, in simple terms, does that make sense to you, or do you have any thoughts or a different view?
No, that totally makes sense to me, because I've got some clients too that are struggling with this type of addiction, putting the phone down. They cannot put the phone down, and therefore they can't get to those, the jobs that they need to get to, or they can't get to the papers they need to write. And we've tried, different ways, but unfortunately, a lot of them just say, I'm not willing to do that. And everything.
I'm not really willing to do that. But if we begin to, again, I'm trying to talk about, this is a primal thing. This is like the lizard brain. Dr. Russell Barkley talks about, you have the automatic brain and the executive functioning brain. And the automatic brain is that area that we're talking about. It's also an emotional brain. Emotionally, the brain likes to feel good. And emotionally, it likes to escape pain. And if we begin to understand that, and we start to take a look at advertising over the course of our lifetime, it's pretty simple. Advertisers, basically, they prey on the need to seek pleasure or escape pain. If you think about it, everything they're pitching to you is somehow tugging at one of those. Does that make sense, Kathy?
Yes.
So they're kind of like, they've kind of cracked the code on human psychology, and they prey on it. And that's what, if you go to the grocery store, you have impulsive buy stuff. All that stuff is at the register. They've actually identified certain colors you're attracted to that you're not really aware of. And so there's really a war out there for your attention that's kind of competing. And where I'm going with this is people with ADHD, they like rewards and they don't like to be uncomfortable. And so what happens is, what we're finding in our world, the internet is an incredibly efficient way to deliver information. Now, I want to also pause here. I'm going to talk a lot today about digital addiction, but addiction in general is highly correlated with ADHD. In fact, if you talk to a good psychiatrist, if somebody comes in with a substance abuse problem, a good one will automatically screen them for ADHD. And if you come in for ADHD, they'll automatically screen you for some type of addictive behavior because they're highly correlated. So,
right.
You know, Kathy, before this, I had talked to you about watching Netflix. It's got a special called The Social Dilemma. And I really encourage anybody who's listening to this to go watch that documentary. I think it was very, very well done. And at the beginning of it, everybody's sitting there talking about, there's this saying about the internet and social addiction or screen addiction. And they're like, everybody's like, you know, who is it? What is it? And it's almost like they're acting like they don't know. And I think that's what we're talking about today. And that is self-regulation. The world is preying on individuals, politicians, the news media, and corporate America, because they want your attention. And in simplicity, the social dilemma talks about how they are using artificial intelligence, supercomputers, who watch your behavior and then point these basics of psychology back on you. And so what happens is people get on these things, and there's like they do these things on purpose to give you these little dopamine hits so that you go to those, and over a really long period of time, you go to social media and you find things that are of interest and more of interest. And before you know it, you're there and you're starting to use either a game or maybe it's Facebook or YouTube more and more and more, and realize is that the people that are doing this are rewarded the more you spend on those. So they have an incentive to keep you on those. So I want to pause and just kind of get your thoughts and reactions to that.
Yes, I guess I was very naive about it, but I was really blown away. I was just like, oh my gosh, so these things are just really going on. And what was really interesting to me is when it first started out and they were asking all these leaders that had gotten together, did you let your children do any of these Facebook or any of these, you know, social media? No, absolutely not. And I was like, what? But so it was just like, they can see it. So what are we doing about this? And I don't feel like they really came to an absolute conclusion to it, you know, like this is going to solve it, but they are in the process of it. And I thought, well, we're at least taking some steps, but yeah, it was some of the numbers that they gave about these young Gen Z that they were first being introduced to it in middle school, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know. And I have some relatives and stuff that have children in that, and they are hooked on these. The you know, got to have that phone in my hand and everything. So it's just a little bit scary.
Yeah, and today. And today's a lot about bringing awareness to kind of what's going on, because we go back to that primal urge for pleasure and pain, pleasure and to escape pain. Again, advertisers do that. So I did an interview one time with Dr. Clifford Sussman on ADHD and screen addiction, and we did a show on the game Candy Crush. And he talked about the characteristics of the game. It's a very, very easy game to play. It's very difficult to be good at. There's an element of chance. You're going around collecting candies. It's like a lottery, like a slot machine. Sometimes you get some, sometimes you don't. It's somewhat random. And so what happens is the game will give you those things, and then it will trend down a little bit. So you've got to put it down and come back later. And we'll give you a reward for coming back later, because you'll get more points and rewards for that. There's a social element too. And you're not you get scores and stuff like that, but you're not competing against everybody. And the point really is that that game is designed for people that like those types of things to get you started. And before you know it, you're spending a lot of time. And how they make money is you buy cheats. You buy money to get coins and kind of like move up that target. And it's literally designed to bring you in. If you watch the Social Dilemma, they talk about Facebook, that notion of bringing friends in, or a like button. A like button, just think of that, is that little reward. It's a little bit of dopamine. And I've had in fact, I was coaching a physician the other day who was – I mean, I'm basically saying to him, you know, you have an affirmation addiction. He likes to be noticed. And in his work, he was procrastinating on some stuff. And I was like, you know, dimes to donuts, you're going to social media. He said, yeah. I said – and he actually admitted, like, oh my God, when I get a bunch of likes on Facebook, it's really – I'm checking it all the time. It's a little reward, But over a really long period of time, it draws you back and draws you back. And Facebook is, again, they're selling ads. Or most people don't realize, but YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world. And when you log in, they have an algorithm. And so when you watch a video, they're going to serve up another video that is somewhat addictive to you, that's based off of your interest. And so as you can begin to see about this, first of all, you jump on maybe YouTube, like, hey, I need to watch a video to change my my garbage disposal, because it's really easy. And then you see something, and then you see something. But before you know it, and the thing about this talk is, how do you get addicted? Well, really, really slowly. But then all of a sudden you realize you've got a problem. And the thing about this that's important is that you realize that you have people that are pointing your own psychology back on yourself. And a lot of people have actually surrendered themselves. I was coaching a woman one time. She was spending hours on her day on YouTube every day. And I said, do you realize that, you know, they are doing this on purpose? And she just, yeah, I just surrendered to it. And I'm like, and so what do you want me to do to coach you right now? You're not getting things done, but you've just given up and said, hey, they're controlling me. I mean, literally, we had this conversation, and literally we talked about getting rid of her phone, and she wouldn't do it because she didn't want to get rid of it. She was uncomfortable with it. Uncomfortable with it. And I'm like, are you aware of yourself? Like, everybody, we lived without cell phones years ago. Like, I mean, I've had people say, well, I need my phone because I use it as my alarm. Like, they still sell alarm clocks. So again, understand is that and politicians are doing this. The media does this. I mean, I'm in Tampa and a couple of days ago, we had a hurricane that was moving up the side of the coast. You would have thought that it was, I mean, catastrophizing everything. Don't get me wrong. A hurricane is bad. It's actually a low hurricane, kind of a tropical storm, but they had, the shells were empty. Now, again, I don't want to be not take it seriously, but I've been in Florida for a long time. And when there's a hurricane coming, it might be targeted for Tampa, but after you know it, it's off the coast of Florida, off the east side, but they're still selling it over here like it's coming because it's advertising dollars to make that happen. And the reason I wanted to come on here, Kathy, is that the ADHD brain is a reward-driven brain. In other words, it is a dopamine-driven brain. And the thing about that is important is if you have ADHD, you are predisposed to have more difficulty with this than other people. And as I say, the only way that you can do this is you have to own this. You can turn an alarm to say, I'm only going to be on my phone for 10 minutes, and you will override it because of that addictive nature. You're having a hard time putting it down.
Right.
Maybe you've got to have somebody come take it away. I mean, this is like serious stuff. This is why I call it a dopamine addiction, because, again, tips, tricks, and strategies are not going to work if you think something else is going to do this. You have to own it. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think when you're talking about addiction, I think most people, if you said, oh, I think there's an addiction going on, I think they would think, oh, well, there must be alcohol. Oh, there must be drugs. Never would they ever think that I have this addiction to my phone, to YouTube, to Facebook, to, you know, the games, and think, oh, I can put it down. But watching The Substance Dilemma, it was really sort of disheartening that in this video, the mother tried to take all the phones and put them in a lockbox, which was a great idea. But this poor child, she needed her phone so badly that she cracked the box open and ran away. You know, that's a sure sign that there's something going on there, and makes you wonder if the family has been checked to see about ADHD.
That's addictive behavior. I mean, think about it.
It is.
I mean, think about it. Like, addicts will steal from their own family to feed that addiction.
Yes.
In this situation, the girl busted this thing open because she couldn't get through dinner without it. And so we can begin to see that this is really challenging.
Yes, it really is. It's just such a challenge and everything. So do you have suggestions?
Bear with me a second, because I had a point that I was going to make, and then it evaporated a second ago. I want to talk about this in a second.
That happens.
one of the things that how this really, really, really plays out, and it's been really unfortunate, Kathy, because COVID, think about this. I talk a lot about this. People with ADHD are more susceptible to what's called agitated boredom, which is the physical discomfort where you're motivated to escape the plight. Wow. In other words, you're uncomfortable when you're bored and you're going to get comfortable. So when COVID hit, everybody had to go home and everybody was bored. People with ADHD were pacing the cage. And so they, in order to occupy their mind, started to do things that and more frequent than what they have done just to entertain their brain as it's going on. And I have to tell you, I've been coaching for 15 years, Kathy. And in the 14 years before COVID, I saw some addictive behaviors that were challenged, like screen addiction, some other stuff. But I said five times that amount in 1 year of the 14 years before that combined, because people were headed home. They were bored. I've got coaching a guy right now that's masturbating like 5 hours a day. I've got a guy in Ivy League school that was on his phone 11 hours a day. And when you ask people about their phone, they definitely underreport, oh, a couple hours. But when you get it, the reports, oh, my God, it's really bad. People are smoking marijuana every day just to escape. And that's another thing, too, is it's not just the pleasure of that. Whenever you have ADHD and you have effortful thinking, that's hard for people with ADHD. So you have a tendency to escape. You say, I'm just going to take a break for a second because I, you know, my brain needs a moment. You pick up your phone and 6 hours later, you know, you're off the rail. And so right now I'm bringing this alarm because I've seen a lot more of this, and I've been spending a lot of time talking to people that are you realizing this happens. And as any addict, they will begin to justify it. Well, I have to have my phone in my room because I use it for my alarm clock. This is where we start talking about what this is about. This is about awareness. And you can still buy an alarm clock at a store. You don't have to have your phone. Well, people go, well, I get the news off my phone. They still sell newspapers. Makes some sense? Oh, but
yes,
I have to
does.
Listen. You can still listen to a radio. I mean, they are still old school alternatives to this, because the issue is if you have ADHD and you realize is that your primal urges are more, you have a stronger urge to feel good, and so thus you're more of a dopamine addict, which is why you're drawn to this stuff. You're more susceptible to the rest of the crowd. And so at the end of the day, you have to be aware. And there's two ways to really manage this. One, not put yourself in a situation, or catch yourself when you're in the middle of it and walk away. The second is harder. The best thing to do is to start to put barriers between yourself and these types of things. Like I said, get an alarm. There are app blockers where you can say, I can only watch YouTube like at lunch from noon to one.
Right.
You know, you start to buy books. You start to read newspapers because they don't have hyperlinks to other things. But this is the epicenter of self-regulation. You have to be aware of it. And I touched on this biology of the dopamine and the reward-driven brain, so you know you're predisposed to it, which, by the way, the stimulants, the amphetamines, I always confuse this. I think the amphetamines increase the release of dopamine, and the methylphenidates inhibit the reuptake in the synaptic gap so that you have more of it so you can pay attention longer. I mean, effectively, they're dealing with that. I mean, there's some other things they're doing, but for our purposes, it's there. And the thing that I said earlier is this is hard because it's hard because primarily your urge is to go to these things, and you have to be aware, and you've got to put these blocks, because if not, you get on it and it happens really, really slowly over a long period of time. And then all of a sudden, one day you realize you can't put the thing down, and it's a bit of a challenge. So I don't mean to be an alarmist, but at the same time, I think we have to understand what's going on here. And when you get on these types of things, you have to be aware that the people on the other side are selling your attention, as they say on that the social media, is if you're not paying for the product, then you are the product. Make sense?
Oh, I know. When they said that, I was like, oh, wow, that's really true. Yes. Well, okay, so we've had the COVID-19. What do you think is going to be on the future? Do you think we're going to be able to break any of this, or do you think we're headed more for more the addiction of the YouTube and the gamers and that stuff? What is your opinion on that?
Well, so this is my opinion is really pretty simple. The digital world's here to stay. It's here to stay.
Right.
It's not going away. So we have to understand it's here to stay. But there's a conflict of interest.
Okay.
Okay. There's a conflict of interest. everybody knows that we shouldn't be doing this, but everybody's rewarded. The gaming companies, the social media companies, TV, politicians, corporate America. It's been there for forever. The issue right now is there's never been such an efficient means to deliver this as the internet right now. And so the human brain hasn't evolved at it. And so I think the most important key is really awareness for the ADHD crowd, that you need to, if you're looking for a book or tip, trick, or strategy, or if you're saying, hey, I think I can do this part-time, watch your behavior over a really long part-time. And this is, you have to watch yourself. And there's another thing that I do other presentations and I talk about self-awareness. Self-awareness is really important to manage ADHD. But the problem is self-awareness. When you're like emotionally, when you're threatened, you go to a fight, flight, or freeze state. It's instinctive.
Right.
When you, when you, to be self-aware, you have to confront yourself, your beliefs, your thoughts of yourself. That is threatening, and most people fight it. So one of the guys that I said earlier on this phone for 11 hours a day said that he was had a screen addiction 15 months ago. And for 15 months, he would give me story after story why I wouldn't put the phone down. I'm like, if you listen to yourself, you're not owning this. You don't want to put it down. He said, he said he knows it's a problem. But finally, he stood up and said, oh, my God, this is really a problem. And the issue really is it's really, really emotional, for people to let go and admit to the fact that they actually have a problem and they need to put this thing down that brings them pleasure. And so going back to the issue is it really comes down to self-awareness. It comes down to self-observation. And it's going to be a real challenge for people with ADHD because this is an area they struggle with. But the more you're tuned to it and the more you know and the more you realize there's not a simple fix. It takes a level of self-awareness and some discipline by yourself or others. You can do something about it. But if you just go along, you're likely going to surrender yourself to this and – you call me up and you're on your phone for 11 hour days. There's really not a lot I can do to help you because I can help you a little bit, but that's the elephant in the room. So final thoughts?
Right. Yeah. Thank you so much for giving us this information and making it come to the forefront. You know, we just know that it's a really bad problem that was going on. And I like that you said that it's a self-regulation and we have to confront our problems that we have. If we just blow them off, we're never going to be able to get the handle of it and everything. But trying
it was funny. I was interviewing Dr. Russell Barkley years ago, and he said it's funny because I didn't know it till I had the thing transcribed years later. Look back, he said, you know, much of what you and I do, Jeff, is convincing people they need to own this. And it was interesting to me because this show is really about hey. Here's something the world is preying on you. You're not aware of it. And I'm really trying to help create an argument that you need to own this if you're going to do something about it in a serious way. And so that's why I'm so grateful for you to give me the opportunity to share with this. It's not the greatest news, but somebody's got to talk about this.
Right. It's not the greatest news, but somebody does. Well, Jeff, we're just about out of time, but I hear that you have a free gift for our listeners. Could you tell us what it is?
We are, forgive me because I forget which one it was. We are giving away a free ebook of some interviews that I did with Dr. Russell Barkley. I can't remember which one. I apologize.
That's okay.
I think Dr. Barkley's model is one of the foremost experts in the world, and there's a lot of really good nuggets information. It's a really easy read, but it's very, very informative, and we encourage you to download it and spend some time with it. Really kind of help you understand some of the basis, and it'll tie in a lot of what we talked about today and supplement and support really kind of common sense that we talked about.
Well, thank you, Jeff, so very much for being on today. We have learned so much, and I hope everyone will try and watch The Social Dilemma because that really will open your eyes and everything. And remember, it's self-awareness that we need to work on. Yes, Jeff? Did you have some final
words?
Absolutely.
And again, The Social Dilemma is a great thing for you, everybody to watch. And again, Kathy, thanks so much for letting me on.
Oh, absolutely. It was wonderful to talk to you, and I think it was a great little information that we got out to our population. So thank you so much, Jeff. Well, stay tuned for our next speaker. We are just getting started. Good afternoon, everyone.